everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound Podcast, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Ariel.
And
me, Raylene.
It's true. It's us.
Those are our names.
We're here. Given to us by our parents for reasons mostly unknown. I'm very excited to be here today recording our podcast because I love it. It's funny, if you haven't noticed the pattern yet, Raylene and I introduce like the podcast back and forth. So 1 week I'll introduce it, the next week Raylene will introduce it. And I noticed that every single time that I introduce the podcast, I just start it by saying, I'm just so glad to be here, because it's like the feeling that is within that I have to somehow,
just have to
for
say
some
it.
Reason, explain. Yeah, I just got to get it out there.
Yeah, I feel that.
Well, yeah, I was going to say this week in book news, but that's not how this shindig
not
goes,
yet.
Raylene. It's not time for that yet. We gotta no. start at the beginning, and that is with what we're currently reading. Raylene, what are you currently reading?
Well, I have to redirect that question, because what I'm currently reading is a spoiler for what I just finished. So I'm going to start
okay.
with that, because... I finished The Priory of the Orange Tree.
No way.
I know. Last week I was halfway through the
Whoa.
Book, I think.
Yeah.
And last night I read 200 pages. That's the only reason I finished.
Oh my God. That's shocking.
It,
I'm actually shocked.
I just decided, I was like, you know what? Today is my day. I'm going to finish the book because I want to... be able to say that I finished the book on the podcast. That was mainly the thing.
Yeah.
I got home from work and I just read for the entire night, which I don't often do anymore, but it was lots of fun. So my night was full of dragons.
Oh my goodness.
It was great.
So how many stars do you give it?
Well, I purposely didn't put it on Goodreads because I didn't want you to know that I had finished it, but I've been thinking it over
today. I know,
today,
I'm shocked.
And I think I would give it 4.5. It was,
wow.
I would say the first, like, half to three quarters was like solid 5 stars for me.
Yeah.
But then it kind of like just got a little bit tedious. And then I felt like towards the end, a lot of things just started happening that seemed like really convenient just to like get all the characters together so that, you know,
okay,
the stories
yeah.
would all line up. And it all of a sudden just started happening really fast. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. This doesn't completely make sense, but okay, sure.
Right.
So that's the only reason I would take off half a star. But I think on Goodreads, I'll still give it a 5 because I think it deserves that. It's such
okay.
like a wonderfully crafted world, and like the magic systems that are in there are really, really interesting. And that's something that I care about a lot. In fantasy, it's like the characters. You have to really care about the characters. Mm. The world building has to be good. And if there's magic, the magic system has to be unique and interesting in some way. And I feel
right.
like that ticks off all of those boxes. So I highly recommend it for people who are new to fantasy, people who love fantasy. It's just a great
Damn.
Time all around. And it's just a standalone 800-page fantasy book. So you don't have to get, you know, roped into reading a series. You get everything you need in this one book. And the characters are so good. And it's very diverse also, which is something that I really loved and I haven't talked about for some reason. There's a lot of gay characters, and people of all sorts of different ethnicities are featured prominently in the book. And it's just like, yes, yes. Like, she just does it so seamlessly. And I just love that.
That's sick. You mentioned that you don't have to get into a series, but I feel like it basically is 3 books.
It kind of is. Yeah, that's true.
That's so exciting. Wow. I'm blown away. I really didn't think you'd finish it this week, because like we mentioned, you were only halfway through last week. I mean, only. That's still like 400
pages,
but,
in, yeah. Well, and then
still.
Also this morning I read another book. It only took me like half an hour to read,
what?
So it barely counts. But I read the 30th volume of Attack on Titan, which I wanted to mention just because I've probably mentioned Attack on Titan once or twice throughout the recording of the podcast. And I've just been like kind of ragging on it a little bit because the last like 10 volumes have been kind of sucky, but this one was so good.
Oh, okay.
This
well, that's
one
exciting.
Is finally like ramping up to the end. I think I'm thinking there's maybe going to be 1 or 2 volumes left, because this is like, oh, finally we're getting answers. So for anyone out there who wants to get into Attack on Titan or is like behind on reading it, just know that volume 30 is really good. So
it's worth keep like reading all the way until volume 30.
It really, no, exactly. I would say the first like maybe 20 volumes are pretty good, and then like 21 to 29 are like, nah, but 30 is a winner.
That's where it really comes together.
Well, do you want to tell me what you're currently reading or what you last finished? Do whatever you want, man.
I guess I've got to do both of them now, right?
Yeah, shoot it all at me.
Okay, well, I'll start where you started with the last book that I finished. I mentioned this one last week, and it is Killing and Dying by Adrian Tomine, or Tomine? I really think it's Tomine. Hmm. Just, you know, because of the effect that E has at the end of the last name. So I talked about this one quite a bit last week, so I don't have to go too far into it, but it's a collection of short stories in graphic novel format, I guess. I don't know how to... Do you remember last week I was explaining this, how there are these really disparate, weird stories, mm-hmm. and you were like, that really reminds me of short story collections. Yeah. And I was like, that's exactly what it is. It's like, I was calling it an anthology, but it doesn't really feel like an anthology. It does feel like a short story collection.
Because they're all by the same author, right? Like the same artist.
Yes. And, yeah, so yes, exactly.
I think that's just short story collection.
Yeah. And then I realized... After we talked, I think when I finished the book, I was looking at the back, and on the back it says, winner of the Eisner Award for Best Short Story.
Oh!
So he's, like, very, very critically acclaimed for his short story, and I remembered, I was like, well, this was so good. I really, really enjoyed it. The first two stories remained my favorites, which is too bad, because it kind of, like, it didn't go downhill. Didn't, like, plummet downhill, but it did go downhill, yeah, for me. But I still, like, I enjoyed there was only one story that I didn't like, and it was kind of, I was really stressful. No, I was like, oh, well, too much for me. But yeah, I remember that I had another book by him, I thought, and so I went to look at my graphic novels, and I had two more books by him. They look very similar, so I think I was melding them in my mind, and I picked them up, and I was like, which one should I read next? And I was like, maybe I'll try reading, like, a full graphic novel by him instead of stories. They're all stories. Both of them are more sets of his stories. So I haven't looked into it. I obviously should. So I don't know if he has written, like, a graphic novel in the sense of just one story throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you were totally right. He's a short story guy.
That's amazing. That's interesting, I find, when authors, like, just write short stories. Like, I never realized that Alice Munro, who's a Canadian author, I believe, she writes almost... Yeah. Exclusively short stories, and she has, like, tons of books. I thought they were all novels, but they're not. She has maybe one or two novels, but they're all short stories. I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah, she's a cool lady.
Yeah,
I've read some of her stories, didn't really like them, but that's fine. That's fine.
She's still a good person.
As for what I'm currently reading, I'm still pushing through The Dreamers. I actually didn't read that much of it this week. I don't know what to say other than I just didn't read that much more of it, but I'm still really hyped on it. It was just, I was doing graphic novels, you know?
Yeah, I feel
But the other thing that I haven't started yet, but I picked it up and I put it next to my bed. So I feel like that means something.
Okay. You touched it recently.
Is Second Chance Summer by Morgan Metz. Okay.
Let me
explain. So my friend and fellow BookTuber Maureen Keevy did a tag on her YouTube channel called, gosh, I really just think it's called just the Morgan Matson book tag. And we'll link to her YouTube channel or to that video in the show notes. But she asked me to be in the video. So basically she just, like, got a bunch of friends that love Morgan Matson to film a clip of each person answering, like, a different one of the questions. Mm-hmm. So I was question 9. And to film the video, I, like, didn't need to, obviously. Not, like, I'm such a nerd. But I just, like, picked up all of my Morgan Matson books. Mm-hmm. And I was just holding them in the video. I don't know why. But, like, holding them and then talking about them, even though it was, like, literally the clip is 1 minute long. And then I sent it to her. And then I just needed to put all the books back. I was like, gosh, I really miss the world of Morgan Matson. I haven't actually read one of her books in a really long time. And I had never read Second Chance.
Oh, really?
Summer. Yeah, no, I've never read it.
Oh my God, it's, you're gonna cry.
I know, it's, I think I might. And so it was funny because I opened the front and it's like praise for Second Chance Summer, and the first blurb says, warning, Tissues recommended by the Boston Globe. And I was like, uh-oh. And I went on Goodreads and I was looking and I saw that you read it and really liked it. And you said that it was really emotional and it has actually really, really good ratings. Mm-hmm. So I was like, do I want to read this? And then I read the first two pages and I was like, I think I maybe want to read this. So this might go two ways. Option number one. I read this entire thing in like 2 days and I just go on a wild Morgan Matson adventure. Option number two is that I mentioned it today and I will never pick it up.
Although I have faith in you that you might actually read this one because I don't know if the weather is getting really warm where you live, but it's starting mm-hmm. to feel like summer here and I'm yes. like ready for summer books. Like I have books yes. in my mind that are like, those are on my summer TBR and yes. I'm starting to think about them now.
I completely agree. It's been so sunny and warm and I'm so glad for it.
Yeah.
It's just, it makes my whole mood so much better. But yeah, it's been so sunny and like you said, summery. Also, I think because I've been reading so many pandemic books, I'm really enjoying them and honestly have no plans to ever stop reading pandemic books. Mm-hmm. But you gotta balance it out, you know, with a little happier. I mean, and this one isn't happier, but the just a summery contemporary.
An easier read overall.
It's an easier read, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, so that's what I'm currently reading or currently thinking about reading.
Well, my currently reading shelf is kind of similar at the moment.
Oh my god. What the hell's going on?
Well, I recently started reading two books.
Okay.
The first one, I started actually listening to the audiobook last week and I wasn't really liking the narrator, so I was like, I'll just switch to the ebook. So I'm not really like actively reading it at this moment, but I'm 9% in. And that book is Autobiography by Christina Lauren.
I've seen this book before.
Yeah, I have an ebook of it. You've probably seen it.
I was going to say, isn't it purple? And yeah, it is.
It's beautiful and purple and pink. And I've been meaning to read a Christina Lauren book for some time. Mm. And this one just sounded the most up my alley. And I just mm-hmm. decided, because while I was still reading The Priory of the Orange Trees, when I started listening to this, I was like, this is like the exact opposite of that book. Firstly, I listened to an audiobook yes. that was nonfiction true crime. And then I was like, what else is the opposite of a giant fantasy book? And I was like, fluffy YA contemporary. That's also the opposite of a fantasy book. So I've just started reading this one. So far, I really like it, though. It's an interesting contemporary in that the main character is this guy. I already forgot what his name was. I think his name is Tanner. His name was mentioned one time in the audiobook so far, and I was like, what's his name? But him and his family had just moved from California to a town in Utah that's heavily Mormon populated. And the main character, Tanner or whatever his name is bisexual. And so he's like at this moment, like kind of keeping it under wraps because he's like, all the Mormons will hate me if they know about this. But that's kind of interesting because I've seen a lot of recommendation requests from people asking for books about bisexual main characters. So I can't really say I recommend this one yet because I've only read a little bit, but there's one for you to try. And the plot for it is interesting too, though, because basically at the high school that these guys go to, they have this special class called the seminar, and it's like basically a class where over the span of 4 months you're supposed to write a book, and essentially there's this other character who completed the class and then his book got published, and so he's like this really cool dude in the town, and he has like come in to kind of mentor the class, and our main character kind of has a crush on him. So that's where I'm at in that book so far, but it's a fun time, so I'm liking that.
That sounds cool.
I'm
gonna be honest, I really don't like the cover of that book. I think that the cover it's just, it looks very middle grade to me. It looks like YA from 2008 vibes to me. And I really don't like the cover of that book. But I've heard such good reviews. And it surprises me because I see the book cover and it's like a cognitive dissonance. I'm like, there's no way that a book with that cover is going to be that good, which I know is like super shameful. The whole thing is, don't judge a book by its cover. I get that. But like, I can't help it. I just have like a really bad reaction to that cover. So it's cool to hear that you're enjoying it so far. Very different from The Priory of the Orange Tree.
Very different.
What was the other thing you were reading?
Well, I actually just started it today. I'm on page 19. So you know what I decided? I was like, after reading a big, long fantasy book, I want to pull an Ariel and just like read a few things at once. And so I'm like, I don't know how this will turn out. But I decided to pick up another book because I was like, you know what? I just want to try and read a couple of YA contemporaries really fast. So I picked up Emergency Contact by Mary H.K. Choi.
Really?
Which also, I think, was... I didn't even think about it until after I started reading it. But it's also... There's a readathon happening this month.
Yeah.
The Asian readathon, I think it's called. I can't remember if it has a different name. But yeah. So I was like, this is the perfect time to read this book. And I've just been meaning to read it for a long time. I'm so excited to just fly through it because there are like no words on each page compared to my fantasy book. So I am just so excited to fly through this. But this one is fun. It's told through dual perspectives. There's a girl named Penny and a boy named Sam. So far, I don't know how they're connected or if they've even met each other. But it's interesting. Sam, the boy character, is a manager at this coffee shop and he loves to cook and bake. So far, that's all I know about him. He's like this cool dude who's really into cooking and baking. And I'm like, that is going to be nice. I like that. I'm often looking for characters who have like niche interests that are just kind of fun to read about. So that's all I know so far. I've literally read 18 pages.
Yeah, so. I mean, I feel about that all the time when I start talking about a book. I'm like, I'm currently reading it, but I don't know. I'm 20 pages in. What can I tell you? It's basically like I haven't started it.
Right. Yeah, I'm excited to see like where I'll be at next
I am too. I'm actually very excited to hear books. That you're reading couple of things at the same time.
Thank you. But yeah, I think I'm also going to start an audiobook soon, so stay tuned for next week.
I also just loaned a bunch of audiobooks from my local library. And do you remember I did this a couple months ago? I did. Mm-hmm. I got a bunch and then I just didn't listen to any of them. So very possible that will happen again.
Try not to panic when they all come in at the same time. It's they're probably all
already
happen.
Here. I was scrolling through like the available section of my library app, and it was showing me all these cool books. And it's
could you tell me a few, and then I could tell you which one you should listen to.
So I got The Stranger in the Woods by Michael Finkel. Do you know about this one?
Yeah, I've read that book actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I think I listened to the audiobook. Oh, yeah, okay. It was good. That's okay. Well, anyways, continue.
I got Uncanny Valley by Anna Wiener.
Oh yeah,
have you heard about this one? It's got a really cool cover.
I've seen the people DNFing that one. So good luck.
Just Kids by Patti Smith, a book I've been meaning to read for a really long time.
Yeah,
and How to Do Nothing by Jenny Odell. Have you seen that one pushing around? I've been seeing that one floating around. It's got a bunch of flowers on the cover, and it's about
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's about like, you know, there's a lot of discourse right now about how our generation is really bad at being bored, and we feel like we have to constantly be doing stuff. So the book is called How to Do Nothing. The idea is like how to reinvest in activities, I guess. I haven't read it, so again, what do I know? But how to like reinvest in activities that aren't technically productive, or like allowing yourself to relax. But I mean, like I said, I haven't read it, so I don't know. What do you think of those? Out of those four, what are you thinking?
I vote Patti Smith because you said you've been meaning to read it.
Really?
Yep. Very I'm just going with that because I was looking at my bookshelf today and I was like, which one should I read? And I was like, you know what? I've been meaning to read Emergency Contact, so I'm just going to read that.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be sometimes.
The cool thing about the Patti Smith one is that she narrates it.
Oh, then definitely.
Right?
Those are the best audiobooks. I've said it before.
I know.
And I'll say it again. When people narrate their own books, it's 1,000 times better than any other audiobook every time.
It is. It's so true. Well, with that being said, it is now time for us to jump into book news. Woo. Okay, Raylene, you hit it off for us right now. What is your book news?
Okay, my book news is kind of random. It's another lockdown / COVID specific one, but I thought it was interesting at the same time. Oh God, oh man, what if they're the same? Okay, so mine is about Haruki Murakami.
That was the one I just said!
It was like the first piece of book news I found, and I was like, you know what? That one's good. Well, let's talk about it then.
Yeah, let's discuss this one piece of interesting random book news. I guess it was a slow book news week because we both just ended up on this. This was the only thing that I could find that was kind of like I thought worth mentioning.
Right. Well, and I saw Murakami and I was like, hey, we talk about him sometimes. I've also been thinking about picking up one of his books this month because I was like, Asian Readathon. Also, some of his books are very like kind of fantasy-ish. So I was like, this could work. So anyways, basically, Haruki Murakami is a novelist and he loves music. It's one of his other things. Mm-hmm. He loves to run and he loves music. And apparently for the past couple of years, he's been hosting this radio show. Which I didn't realize. Like, he's been hosting some kind of radio show where he just, like, plays music. Like, he just plays some of his favorite songs for the people of Japan. That's so cool. But he's doing a special radio show, a lockdown radio show, and it's going to be coming out on the 22nd of May. It says nationwide, so I think it'll probably just be in Japan.
Yeah, but and I'm guessing it's going to be in Japanese.
Yeah, probably. Well, he'll be playing music, so...
That's
music
true.
Is a, music. A universal language. I guess. But yeah, so he's going to be doing a special 2-hour long show where he's going to play his favorite songs and answer questions, which I think is really cool. Because also what I didn't realize is he's considered kind of reclusive as an author. So a lot of people, you know, have never heard him speak or, you know, kind of just listen to him, which I think is interesting. I love listening to authors speak. So that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
I love that it's called the Murakami Radio Stay Home Special.
I know, it makes him sound like a superstar, which I love, because he is.
it's perfect, and I love
it. It is perfect. I love him. He's such a cute old man. I really love him.
Well, that's hilarious that we both had the same news, and unfortunately, because it's such a random little tidbit, there's very little to elaborate on.
Well, there's a quote from him here that I'll just read since I'm staring at the website right now.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm hoping that the power of music can do a little to blow away some of the corona-related blues that have been piling up." Thank you.
Good
Thank
words. You, good words.
Good words. He's a good man. Hopefully he'll play some smooth jazz. Something to soothe everyone.
Well, let's move into our recommendations. I'm actually really excited for these recommendations. Because I've pulled such random books for them.
Oh, good.
I'm feeling pretty... I'm, like, excited to talk to you about these because they're so random. All right, you start with yours from Matilde.
Yes, so Matilde says, "Hello, I'm looking for a book that has a green cover / spine." First of all, I love that.
I love that.
"I read Station 11 because you guys said so many good things about it, but also, and this might have been the main selling point, because of the very beautiful green color on the spine."
It is a very unique green, I will admit.
It is. I love it. And it's funny because the cover's not green at all, so you wouldn't think of what color the cover was going to be when you see the spine.
I agree.
Which I love. I love that. Anyways, continuing. "So I'm just looking for some more green books to read. The story itself doesn't have to be something super specific, although I do tend to prefer fiction where there's adventures and puzzles to solve. Thanks."
Love it.
Do you want to go first? I'm scared that we picked the same one, so I have a backup.
Sure. I mean, I really, really doubt it, but...
okay.
The book that I can't even believe I'm about to talk about this book.
Oh, interesting.
The book that I picked is Cross My Heart and Hope to Spy.
Oh, okay.
By Allie Carter.
That's funny.
Have you read this?
No, I never read that series. I always saw it and was like, maybe one day. It seems like in the same vein as Hex Hall for some reason, even though it's not at all the same genre.
Well, no, it's exactly the same. So the it turns out this is the second book in a series. So guys, I went to my shelves and I started looking at all my green books and I saw this one and I was like, I am never gonna have another moment to recommend this,
this
book.
Is the moment.
And I want this moment because I actually loved these books when I was younger. So the first one is I'd Tell You I Love You, But Then I'd Have to Kill You, which is so edgy. And then, like I mentioned, this sequel, but I very distinctly remember that they are kind of standalones. Like they are totally sequels, but it's, you know, you know, kids' books where you don't have to read them in order at all. It's just, it's the same character. It's like an Arthur episode. Yeah, it's all self-contained. Cross My Heart and Hope to Spy. So these books are about Cammy Morgan. I didn't remember that at all, but it says so on the back. Cammy Morgan, who goes to this school called the Gallagher Academy for Exceptional Young Women, which is an academy for spies. So this as you can imagine, when I was in middle grade, slash, honestly, if I'm being honest with you, I read them when I was like 14, 15.
Yeah.
Maybe 16. I don't remember.
On the verge.
They were so fun. They were so, so fun. And it totally felt like watching a teen movie like Easy A or, you know, one those teen movies where it's like 90 minutes. You laugh, you smile, you swoon, and you just are having a jolly good time. And it's fun because the main character is super intelligent and capable. And you just are kind of like... you're like impressed by her spying abilities and she does like, you know what it is, what it's like, it's like just a modern version of Nancy Drew. It's like a boarding school version of Nancy Drew. So I really liked these books. If you're looking, if you are like 15-ish or under, then I really recommend these. If you're looking for books for like a young person that you know, definitely, I recommend them. They're just so much fun. They were so much fun when I was a kid. I was like, not a kid, a preteen and a teenager. When I was a teenager, I was like, these are sick. I love these. And, you know, like, can you go that wrong with a boarding school book? Not really.
No, they're always good no matter how bad they are.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my completely random pick. What did you pick?
Well, I picked a book that is mostly green on the spine and cover, but I think it counts because it's like the most beautiful cover, and that is Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng.
Oh, yeah. I thought about picking that one.
I just had to, because it's one of those books that like the spine just calls out to you when it's on a shelf.
It's true.
Like, it stands out because it's just really cool.
I think mainly really it's beautiful. The font. It's a really good font.
Oh, that's true. If I ever publish a book, I want it to look like this. Like, this is my ideal type of book cover. It's just beautiful. But yes, this book is fantastic and does have a bit of a mystery. It's literary fiction with kind of a mystery throughout, kind of like Big Little Lies. If you like Big Little Lies, you probably like this book. Basically, it's about this suburb, essentially, where everything is fine and normal and dandy most of the time, until basically it starts out with a family's house burning to the ground.
Yes.
And you're like, what the hell is going on here? So there's the mystery of like, who did it / why did it happen? But then also there is this woman named Mia who moves into the town essentially and is renting a house from this other family. And she kind of has a mysterious story. Like, you don't know. She has like a dark past, which is kind of hinted out throughout the book. And as the book goes on, obviously you find out kind of what is going on there. But you know that she's just been moving around a lot with her daughter and they've never really settled in one place. And so it's kind of an interesting mystery. And there's other storylines that branch out from all of that, but those are kind of the main mysteries of the book, I would say. And it's just really interesting to go into it not knowing too much, I would say, because I went into this book, I just bought it when it came out because I was like, cool, everybody loves that, and also Celeste Ng is great, so I'll just read that book. I didn't know what it was about at all, so reading it without really knowing anything was really a cool experience. So
yeah,
I highly recommend that.
I really liked it.
Beautiful and green.
One thing that I find really strange about that book, and I don't know if anybody else agrees with me, but I read it and I totally gave it, you know, like a 4 stars. It was between a 3 and a 4. I solidly enjoyed it. I liked it. I read it as part of my book club with my patrons, and we had like a really great discussion like during a live show together where we were like talking about different theories and ideas and stuff. And one thing that I was really strongly arguing was that it's totally a young adult book. Like most of the main characters are teenage age and they're dealing with pretty like teenagery basic problems. Then there is also the like inclusion of the adult's perspective sometimes, but it's mainly from the teenager's perspectives. So I was like, this is YA. I don't know what to tell you guys, but this is YA.
That's funny.
But the other thing about it is that I remember having such a good discussion, but I have basically forgotten that book. Like, I don't know what it is about it, but it's this kind of, I don't know. I genuinely don't know what to say, except that I always forget that I've read it. I forget that it exists. I forget kind of what happened in it. Like, I know the gist of what happened in it, but that one book in particular, there's like, it has happened to me throughout my life, I bet you like 5 times, where I'll read a book and a couple months later, I'm like, I totally forgot that I even read that. And that happens with Little Fires Everywhere to me.
That's funny. I have probably a couple of those as well. I remember I was going through, like, sometimes when we're, when I'm preparing for an episode of the podcast where I'm like, okay, I need to figure out what book to recommend for this. I'll just go through, like, my past years on Goodreads and see, like, oh, what did I read in 2017? And the year before last year, I read Dry by Neil Schusterman. Is it by Neil Schusterman?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't remember. I completely forgot that I had read that. Yeah. When I was scrolling through, I was like, I haven't read that book. And then I was like, wait a minute. Yes, I have. Like, I completely had forgotten that I read it. So I understand that feeling. It doesn't happen very often, but
I agree. It doesn't happen it's really very often. I tend to have a really good memory for books. Like, it was... I do not have a good memory for math. I don't understand math very well. Like, it's just not well formulated in my mind. I don't... Science, my God, forget about it. But, like, history and stories, I've always stuck in my head really, really well. And so whenever I read a book or watch a movie, like, years later, I can be like, oh, yeah, this is what happens. And then this happens. And then this happens. But with a couple of books, and Little Fires Everywhere is that book, I'm like, I have no clue. It's like, there's a girl and... she set the house on fire. I don't know. Someone, I don't know. And I'm like,
that book also has like a lot of storylines. So yeah. I kind of forgot about some of them until I read the synopsis again a few minutes ago, to be quite honest. I was like, what is the inciting incident? Because all I remember is like what happens later in the book.
Yeah. But anyways, let's jump into our second recommendation. It comes from Mauve, and she asks, hey guys, I read Animal Farm at age 14. And hated it, but gave it another try at 20 because of Ariel, and gave it 5 stars. What is a book that you gave a second chance and are so glad that you did? Love the podcast. Well, thank you, Mauve, and thank you for giving Animal Farm another shot because it deserved it, clearly. I'm really glad to hear that. Even if you've read Animal Farm 3 times and you hated it every time, I recommend giving it another shot because you clearly are confused.
You just need to try a little harder.
You just need to try again. Raylene, I thought this was such a fun question. I really, really like this question because, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit on the podcast before, but I think it was last week, we were talking about giving a second chance to an author. Like sometimes...
It was on Books on Bucket.
Oh, it was on Books on
Bucket.
Bonus
podcast.
Yes, yeah. On the bonus podcast, we were talking about like, what are authors that you've read one book that you really didn't like by them, but you gave them another shot and then you ended up like reading books by them that you like. But this is similar to that, but kind of different, obviously. So I'm excited. I actually picked 2 because I think it's really fun. But yeah, you go first. What did you pick?
Okay, so as soon as you sent me that we were doing this recommendation request, I was like, boom, I have one. Like, this was the fastest I've ever had an answer for something because I have just the perfect book for this. I don't know if I have any others. Just this one. And, that book is How I Live Now by Meg Rosoff.
Interesting.
So let me tell you a little story.
Please do.
Okay, so back when I was in high school, in grade 9, the English class I was in would do little book clubs. And I did it with The Book Thief, which was I've talked about before as well. That was the last time I had read it before I read it last year.
Right.
So that was 2009, folks. That was a long time ago. And yeah, we would just
to
do like
be
little...
young again.
Oh, yes. So we would do these little book clubs where you would, you know, pick 3 or 4 people and you would all read a book and then we had to do some kind of presentation on it or whatever.
Yeah.
And so my friends and I picked How I Live Now and we started reading it and I don't remember how everyone else reacted to it, but I just hated it so much.
Wow.
I didn't even finish it.
Oh.
We gave a presentation on it. We like filmed a video or something and presented it to the class. But I hadn't actually finished the book because I was like, no, I hate it. This book sucked. I gave it 1 star on Goodreads because I was like, this doesn't deserve more than this.
Right.
However, a few years ago, I think in 2014 or 2015, I watched the movie for How I Live Now.
I think it must have been 2013 or 14. Because
yeah,
I remember, this was back when you were still making videos, and you pushed this book hard.
Yes, because what happened is I watched the movie because I love Saoirse Ronan. She was the starring role in this movie, and I was like, I'll watch anything she's in, so I'll just give it a try, because I watched the trailer and I was like, hey, that looks pretty good. So I watched the movie and was like, oh my god, this is fantastic. I have to read the book again. So I went out and bought a copy of the book and read it, and my god, so amazing.
I think that's crazy.
So good. I really love it. This book, for those who don't know, is about this girl named Daisy who essentially her dad just doesn't feel like dealing with her, and so he sends her off to go live with her cousins in England. And she's just like a very surly teen. Like, you know, she doesn't want to go live with her cousins. She's like, whatever, I don't want to deal with any of this. But she goes there, and then suddenly World War III breaks out, basically, mm-hmm. is what happens. Like, suddenly, because her aunt had to go away for work to a different country in Europe, and then she can't come back because suddenly everybody's kind of being held where they are, and everything is going crazy. And so the story is about Daisy and her three cousins just, like, trying to survive on their nice little farm in England. And
is there a character named Edmund?
Yeah.
How do I remember that?
I don't know.
How I remember that.
Yeah, he goes by Eddie, just like the dog.
That book was great.
Yes, and actually, speaking of the movie, I just remembered Tom Holland is in that movie randomly.
Oh, really? Is he a baby?
No, he was like maybe 14 or something. He plays the middle brother in that, which I didn't realize it was him, obviously, until later on. I was like, holy shit, that's Tom Holland. So if anybody wants to watch it just for Tom Holland, there's a good enough reason for you. But it's really good, and it's kind of a weird situation just because there's a little bit of a romance between Daisy and one of her cousins.
Yeah, but that was a little weird.
I honestly like that stuff in books. Like, it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's interesting because you get to see why it would happen. And, you know, they were there to comfort each other and they didn't really know each other as cousins. So it was just kind of like a weird situation and whatever, you know, but it's really good. I really loved it. Maybe that's why I didn't finish it the first time. Maybe I was like, ew. And then I got a little bit older and was like, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine. The world is ending.
Morally opposed.
It's World War III, guys. It's
come on.
A different story now. But yeah, I really love that book, so I highly recommend it.
I read it because of you for the Booktubeathon in, I think, 2013 or 2014. And I loved it. I was like, yep, Raylene's right on this one. Well, I picked two books, and they're two very different stories. The first one is This One Summer by Mariko Tamaki and Jillian Tamaki. So,
okay.
This is kind of cheating in a way because I read this book, read the whole thing, and I didn't really like it. But, guys, this is, to my knowledge, the first graphic novel that I've ever read. Obviously, when I was a kid, I would read picture books, and my brother read comic books, and sometimes I would read those comic books. And I was also really, when I was a teenager, really into Archie comics, so I would read Archie comics. But this was the first, like, graphic novel, kind of literary graphic novel that I'd ever read, and I really didn't like it. I thought it was really boring. I don't know how I would feel about it now because I haven't reread it. I should really reread it. But yeah, at the time I found it really boring, really depressing, really slow. I was just like, oh no, I don't like this. But for some reason, I decided to keep trying graphic novels, even though I didn't like this graphic novel. So it's kind of cheating because it's not one book. It was like a genre. Basically, I like gave the genre a second chance. And what's really funny is I kind of gave the genre like a second, third, and fourth chance because like all of the first graphic novels that I read, I didn't really like.
Oh no.
And it's so funny because I remember buying them and being like interested, but not, and reading them and being like, I don't like these, but I knew that I liked the concept. I liked the medium, but I was like, I'm sure there must be some out there. But literally I read like four or five graphic novels in a row that I didn't really like. And then finally I read one and I don't remember what it was, but I read something where I was like, oh, you see, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I think they can be. And now I'm, I guess, better at picking them for myself. But so that's kind of like, I did that with a genre. But the other one that I wanted to talk about will shock you. And it is Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. So, when I was a young child, I don't know how old I must have been. I think I was like 11, which is such a bummer because if I had liked it the first time, I would have been Harry's age every time the book, like, so you know, throughout true. The series, whatever, it doesn't matter. But when I was like 11, my dad gave me this book and I was like, what the heck is this? What the hell is this? And so I started reading it and I found it too difficult. I think it was because it's so British that I was like really disturbed at what the hell was going on here. And I remember not even reading like the first chapter and just going to my dad and being like, I don't like this. And he was like, okay, listen, give it another chance. He gave me a highlighter and he said, highlight any word that you don't know. And then after every few pages, I can tell you what those words mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right. So that's why on my copies of Harry Potter,
there's words highlighted.
Just on page 2, because that's how far I got on my second attempt. On the second page, which I guess is technically page 8, I highlighted the word tantrum. I apparently didn't know what tantrum meant.
I love that.
And I gave up again. And I just, that was like in the span of 2 days. And I just gave up on the books. I was like, no, I don't read Harry Potter. Harry Potter is annoying. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Then many years passed, like 3 years or 4 years passed.
Yeah.
And by the time that I got back on the train, all of the books were out. Like the 7th book was about to come out. It was
okay,
like,
that's kind of cool though. That's like a good time to get into the series, even though it's not ideal age-wise.
It's not ideal.
Good as a reading experience.
Yes. And so by the time I finally decided to give them another chance, it was because I don't remember how many of the movies had come out at that point, but I had become invested in the movies as a kid, you know? Yeah. Maybe I was even younger when I first got handed this book. I don't remember the timeline. I was a child. but yeah, I then was like, okay, you know what? I'll give these books another chance. And obviously loved them to death. I've read the series 10 times over. Like, I'm hugely obsessed with Harry Potter now. It's one of the greatest literary achievements of our age. But yeah, I didn't like it the first time.
Oh, man. That is quite the story. For some reason, I didn't realize that you had that relationship with Harry Potter. Often, I, like, know the people who've been reading it since childhood or the people who read it in, say, high school.
Mm.
For some reason, I didn't even know what your story was.
Yeah. Now you know.
How we've gone this long without me knowing that is honestly shocking.
Well, now you know. That's my secret shame. I've always been sad about it because I've always wished that I was one of those people that was like excited about the release of the books, mm-hmm. and I never
those
was.
Really good days.
Like by the time I was reading the 6th book, I remember that the 7th book had like just come out that summer or something, and I was like, oh, I can go get it, but I wasn't excited about, like, I didn't go to a midnight release or anything. It's a bummer.
I've never gone to a midnight release either. I think I was too young, I think, to like want to. I don't know. I didn't really know it was a thing.
When I don't know, because didn't the last book come out in 2007?
Yeah, I think so. So we were in grade 7 when the last book came out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of kids went, and, like, I've seen videos and things where people have gone to midnight releases, and I'm like, I just didn't even know that that was a thing.
Yeah,
I probably would have wanted to go if I had known.
We were 12 or 13. We wouldn't, we were 12 in grade, like, 8.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't have, no, we wouldn't have known.
No.
Which also
so, like,
makes,
I'm not as hardcore of a fan as some people. So.
Which definitely makes me think that I must have been like 8 when my dad first gave me the book, I think.
Right?
Also, this lines up because I remember reading the series like in full when I was 13. So that would line up with when the final book came out.
Yeah.
Very interesting, ladies and gentlemen.
Very interesting. I remember reading Order of the Phoenix when I was in elementary school still, I think. I was like in grade 4 or 5 and I like did a little special test on it to get some points for something. Amazing. I don't remember what it was. Amazing. It was great. I know, I was like, I can read Harry Potter and get points for school? Hell yeah.
I remember I read all of the books for the first time the year that I was homeschooled in grade 8. So that was when I was like 13. And... Yeah. Best year of my life. Best year of my life, ladies and gentlemen. Best year of my
Sounds
life.
Sounds great.
Also read Twilight, so.
Ooh, best year ever.
Highs and lows, highs and lows. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much to everyone for listening, for supporting us on Patreon, if you do so. If you don't, definitely, I don't know, go check it out. It's a fun old spot. We're off right now to record our mini bonus podcast episode, Books Unbucket, that we release every week alongside our main episode. So if you want to support what we do and get a little bonus episode where I ask Raylene a silly book question, it's a good time, actually, I'm going to be honest with you. And thank you also to everyone who follows us and shares our podcast on Instagram. We are so close to hitting 10,000 followers, but we are also so close to reaching $1,000 a month on Patreon, which is so, so exciting. And as our $1,000 milestone and celebration, we are commissioning these really amazingly cool gifts for Instagram, because we use Instagram as kind of the main place to like share on socials our podcast, we thought this was like a perfect place to do something like this. So once we hit $1,000, so if you want to be a part of the crew that gets us right there, you will help us get to the point where we can release these amazing gifts, and I'm so excited about them because they're beautiful. So that's a little sneaky book news secret. That's a little Books Unbound book news. But with that being said, thank you so much to everyone for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week. Bye
bye.